It went to the kitchen. Oh.
Gotcha.
And just sniped it. Yep.
And this is the segment to go out and purchase your very own salt gun.
Even if my dreams fall to the ground, even if I'm lost, I know I'm found. Even if my heart will somehow say, hallelujah anyway.
Welcome back to Supper Time, the podcast where we dive into the joys, challenges, and beauty of life as an entrepreneurial family. I'm Drew Trembley, joined by, again, my amazing, super gorgeous and talented wife, Jillian.
And over there's Drew, the brains behind everything.
Last couple times she says hunka burn love, but that must have.
I was trying to switch it up, okay, you know? Okay. And brains are important too.
True.
Very sexy. Brains are super sexy.
That's very true. Okay. First, I have to say thank you so much to everyone out there. This podcast has been well received. I appreciate everything you guys are saying. All of the likes, all of the comments, it truly means a lot to us. And we really couldn't be doing this without all of you.
We love y'all.
So thank you so much. And I think we have a fun, tasty treat this time.
Tasty treat?
It's a supper table, you know? It's all about the food.
I know. Actually, since it's all about the food, why don't you share with everyone what would be your go-to dessert?
Oh, my go-to dessert. Oh, that's a hard one. Dessert is one of my favorite meals of the day. Honestly, let's keep it simple. My go-to dessert would probably be anything that you can put a scoop of ice cream with. I think that'd be my go-to dessert.
I could see that for you.
What would be your go-to dessert?
Mine is apple crumble. Nice scoop of vanilla ice cream. That's the only way I'll ever have vanilla ice cream. I do not like vanilla anything.
But on
a pie.
I really like that answer because one thing that Jillian explains a lot to people is the fact that I'm very good at picking out the things that Jillian likes. As far as if I were to go to the gas station, I could easily go into a gas station and know her treats. And on the flip side, she has a very hard time of choosing what she thinks I might like at that time.
That's because he's just diverse in his snack pickings.
I will say, though, I was not expecting apple crumble or an ice cream.
You know, when I worked at Chili's, shout out to the Chili Heads, me and my manager, Rich, we'd always sing this song because I'd always get it. Apple tarts, the key to my heart. That was my favorite. Yep.
Do they still have it? Because I know Chili's changes their menu.
They change it all the time. Molten lava cake stands the test of time, but no, the apple tart is gone. Last I checked, anyway.
And so are those baby back. They don't even have ribs anymore, do they?
I don't know. I can't remember. I think they were gone, but I think they might be back. The brown sugar rub ribs, though, those were bomb, and they got rid of those. Everything I love, it's gone.
Well, and also to keep it in the family, if anyone wants a hidden gem secret when you go to Chili's, especially ask our kids, whenever you go to Chili's, you need to get chips and salsa and a side of ranch.
Side of ranch. You dip the chips into the salsa and then into the ranch and so good. The kids just go direct ranch, but they don't know. They're children. They're just savage.
I will have to say, though, you probably should do it the other way. I know you don't like that because then the salsa gets all white, but it tastes better that way.
No,
ranch, then salsa, then mouth.
This is the why behind why I do it in the order I do. It's for respect for the other people sharing the salsa at the table. They don't want the ranch, and I don't want to put ranch in their salsa. But if it's just us, I don't care. I'm just thinking of...
This is not another marriage debate, by the way.
No, this is just for the non-ranchers. That's why I do that order. Yeah. Anyway, we wanted to kind of take a deeper dive into our journey of owning our own business, kind of the reason behind it, a little bit more of maybe some of the bumps in the road. I know that with social media, it is easy to keep to the highlight reel. It's harder to get to the grit because you only get a few seconds and people's attention is about this.
Yeah, we've had a lot of you reach out and ask for further information about how we did this coffee journey. Where did it start? All of these kinds of questions. And like Jillian said, you guys, we get to see all the pleasantries and the positives and the excitement when we post on our social media, but you don't get the nitty gritty.
You don't get to see us showing up at an event and we hit a big bump. And the whole top shelf is on the floor and you're running late. Or how about when I forgot to lock the fridge and we have stuff all over the floor and coffee dripping a whole, what is that, a 5 gallon thing?
Yep, 5 gallons of cold brew concentrate.
All over the floor. And to know, Jillian, that was you, that was on you. So we're going to share a little bit more about the challenges, not just all the fun. I mean, it is fun, but there are challenges to be had.
Yep. So let's get started with why.
We've kind of shared a little bit of our why. Did we want to start a small business, right? To get out of the corporate life, be more together as a family. So that's definitely our why for starting a small business, but why coffee? I will share from my personal experience, my relationship with coffee goes way, 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 way back to about 7 months ago when we started our coffee shop. I did not drink coffee. I never liked coffee. I have never been a coffee drinker. Hold on. Okay.
The actual word coffee, she didn't even like.
Okay, well, that's
just because... She wouldn't even eat coffee cake because she thought it tasted like coffee.
I thought it tasted like coffee, and coffee cake is so delicious. Yep. And it's supposed to be served with coffee. Don't trick me by putting
Shout out to Annie's Cafe.
Oh, my goodness. Annie's Cafe. If you are local to Elsinore or Temecula, stop in, get their coffee cake before you even get your breakfast. It's worth it. Oh, heaven in your mouth.
It is fabulous.
Okay, that's a sidebar. My cousins opened a coffee trailer in Georgia, and we went to visit them, and Drew literally said, I have no desire to ever do something like that.
I remember that, yep. One reason was because I didn't, and the other reason was because I knew if I had a coffee trailer sitting in my house, I would drink so much coffee. Like, we were sitting there at night, and they would just say, anyone want a coffee? And they'd go out to their coffee trailer and make coffee and bring her out drinks too much.
It was actually a really pleasant trip. It was. The perks of the coffee in their garage. I was more on the, I'm intrigued. I want to hear more. And obviously, we did have the desire for Drew to be home. But Drew was looking at the coffee trailer like, nah, that's not for us. That's not what I'm thinking.
But one thing that started to draw me in was that he wasn't 9 at the time, he's 9 now, but their son was basically learning how to run the register and work the coffee shop.
He's 10 now, by the way.
10 now, sorry. Yeah. I know he's close to Rami's age, but older. Yeah,
he's just 6 months older.
And I was thinking, that's perfect. And I truly believe that as parents, especially when it comes to the idea of wealth, wealth to me is I need to have skills that I know that I can do very well, that I can pass down to my kids, that they can then use to pass down to their kids and then to their kids. And watching their son start to learn how to run this business, how to take the money, count the money, customer service and all these different
things. Yeah, they get to be a part of it all. And I think that's really cool. It's really important. They get to see me and Drew get a little stressed sometimes too. And I just think that's reality. I don't want my kids to view us as perfect either. I want them to watch us go through challenges together and separate and whatever and how we face them. And I think that shows character. And I think it's important for our kids to get to experience that. And that is another aspect and beauty, in my opinion, of homeschool is they get to live life with us and kind of manage all that. Another cool thing, even with having the kids around the coffee trailer, with homeschooling is during the downtime, we have a little table set up outside. They just do their homeschool. And then outside of that, it's so cute how excited they get to come in and help just clean the counters. Mm-hmm. Can I do the spray this time? You know, and I think it's important that at every age, their jobs look different. Like Remy can work the register. The other two, not so much. But then they can help clean. They can help put away dishes. They can help wipe down the syrups, different stuff like that. And I think it's cool just to get to let each of them experience their own aspect of the business.
Yep. Out of all of the crazy business ideas I've had in my life, this is the perfect one, especially for our family, where we're at in our life, the age of our kids. It's been a big blessing for us.
Yeah. Before we knew we were going to start a coffee shop, and Drew has this beautiful relationship with coffee and his family, and I felt left out. And so I was like, I am going to figure this out. And so on the way to church every Sunday, we'd go to a local coffee shop in Taza. We love in Taza. And I would get something. And I was trying something different every time. And it was like my way of like training myself to love coffee. So I would try something new and I was like slowly getting used to this and falling in love with it. And then Drew's brown sugar maple syrup, hook, line, and sinker for me.
Gotcha.
That definitely made me fall in love with coffee. It also cold brew is so smooth. So that was like, okay, another notch. And then we got this beautiful farm fresh milk. I mean, it's just the whole thing overall was so smooth and delicious. Alexander Farms. And so that kind of, that was it for me. Now I'm an addict and I'm like, give me my coffee.
Anyway, so that's kind of what got us. That was the why behind our coffee. Now, the story of how this started is a little bit crazier. As you know, I quit my job in the month of July. When I quit, we knew what we were going to do. We knew we were going to do coffee. Run a coffee trailer, and you'd think, well, that's pretty smart. You at least have a plan. You know what you're going to do.
Well,
and
let's pause for a second. Remember, we thought we were moving. So we were, Drew was going to have his last day. We were going to move to Georgia, and we were going to get a coffee trailer out there because if you know the standards of California are white glove, it's different out here. The expectations for anything and everything is almost too hard to reach. So we were going to wait. We're like, we don't need to spend California dollars and also California standards and all of that. We're like, we'll wait. So then once we decided, what was it, June? We were like, we're not going to move. We kind of knew we weren't supposed to.
Well, when we were going to move, I did, knowing we were going to Georgia, I found a company in Florida that manufactures these that I love. They look great. They were awesome. And so that was it. We were going to get a 16-foot coffee trailer from this company in Florida once we moved. And then in June, we realized we weren't moving.
And I'll tell you, a little panic set in just on the trailer portion, coffee trailer, of like, what are we going to do? And now our whole mentality shifted of like, we can't just get something and like fix it up.
Come July 21st. I was still going to work with the company in Florida. Hadn't put any money down for a trailer, and I quit my job, and there was no trailer.
And if you're a man of a family, if you're the husband and the father, the weight on your shoulders for this is just different than a woman's. So can you talk a little bit about your struggles with realizing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was blessed with an amazing job that Jillian can follow her dream. Like as she said before, her main goal in life, she wanted to be a mom. And she was able to. She didn't have to work. I brought in a big income. But I was the only income. And so quitting my job, it was a big stress because I didn't want to take Jillian out of the life that she wanted to be able to raise her our daughters. And I had to find a way to go from a high paying job to nothing and then to still be able to support the family the way I really, truly believe I'm supposed to support the family. We had no trailer. I was still going to work with this company from Florida. And then it was probably, I mean, the only thing is you're paying thousands of dollars for this trailer that I didn't really have. From end of July through August, I was working with this company trying to get this, and I finally found this small business loan. And I told them right up front at the beginning, I said, I am brand new. I don't have anything. Oh, yeah, no problem. We'll work with you. You know, their sales reps, they just need a sale or whatever. You'll say whatever you need to do to keep the process going. And so I turned in all the paperwork I needed to. I filed all the stuff I needed to file. It took me about 3-ish weeks.
And we were still working with that same company. We thought we had everything lined up. Drew had been talking to them.
And so finally they came back and said, all right, you're pre-approved. Now we just need your last 2 years of income.
For the business, not personal. It had to be the business.
Yeah, and I'm like, I told you at the very beginning, you just wasted 3 weeks of my life because I told you from the very beginning. And so that kind of started, you know, a lot of the setbacks. Everything just seemed like it was moving along. It was like, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And there weren't really any negatives along the way, but that was the first of many, like, what the heck did I do? Why did I do this? I know my other company will have me back. Let's put on the brakes. I'm done with this.
Well, and I was home working my part-time job. And Drew was at the pool with the girls kind of finding out all this stuff. So I wasn't really aware of all of the pressures on Drew either. He's like behind the scenes trying to like put band-aids on it, right? He's like, how do I figure this out?
Yeah, I'm not very good at coming and bringing the problems to Jillian. I kind of want to just come and present all the positives. So yeah, you probably didn't know much of this. So I'm sitting at the pool deck and I find this out. in this same time as well, I found on this, the company that we want to work with in Florida, I find on their website a coffee chair that they've already made. And I zoom in and I see the address is in Northern California. So I'm like, well, let's just talk to them and let's reach out to them and see what they think. And I'm thinking, well, maybe. So I contacted them and they were super awesome. They called me back and I basically said, hey, I'm in the same position you were. I'm going to use this company to build a trailer. And they were extremely nice, very polite, and basically said, I wouldn't use them. They had so many issues along the way.
They say they're up to California code and they weren't.
That a lot of things happened, but they were super nice. And they said, I wouldn't. And they basically said, find someone in California because anyone outside of California will say they can do it, but they just, you need someone in California that knows the standards here. Find someone in California.
And I'll just say real quick is like hearing all that when you think, like, we just thought we had a plan, right? And then now it's like we've been talking to these people, like we have a loan lined up, and then nope, that's out. And then, oh, here we have this trailer company picked out, and like, no, they don't cover. But in hindsight, now looking back, thank goodness, like, Drew called those people. Thank goodness they were able to tell us, because we would still be sitting here without a trailer if we went through them and had to wait a year to then find out we have to dump a bunch of money into it too to make it up to code. So it really is a blessing, but at the time, it felt like a hardship. Mm-hmm.
Seeing money out and no money in, and it's been about a month and a half. I'm like, what do I do?
And I'm explaining that to our kids because now it's like you live differently when you have a nice income coming in. And I'm having to explain, and you know, my oldest daughter's like, well, you have money. I'm like, there's a difference between having money and making money. Mm-hmm. We have money, but every time we spend money, it's doing this, and we don't have this coming back in. So trying to explain that to like a 9-year-old.
Yeah. So I'm there sitting on the pool deck. Stressed out. I have no clue what to do now. What do I do next? So I didn't want to obviously go in and tell Jillian any of this. I had to have a solution before I went into the house. And I said, all right, let's just, when I first started this, I Googled coffee trailer manufacturers near me and I didn't leave our small area. So then I broadened that search up into all of California and found this company about 40 minutes north of Sacramento. Golden State Trailers.
Would shout out Golden State Trailers.
If you need any kind of food trailer, ever go to them. But anyway.
Beautiful trailers, beautiful company for sure.
So somehow it just popped out to me, you know, the little icon. So I looked into them and I said, whatever, I'm picking up the phone, I'm calling them. So I called them, I talked to their salesperson. I basically told them the whole story. I said, hey, this is what happened. I quit at this time. I need a coffee trailer. The other company kind of fell through. What can you do for me? So she started asking me the questions like, what do you want? What are you looking for? I told her I need a 16-foot trailer or less. I'm going to do this, this, and this. And about 10 minutes into the conversation, I heard her pause for a little bit. And she said, well, what do you think about a 20-foot trailer? And I said to her, I mean, that's a little bit bigger than I wanted. I don't need that much, but why do you ask? And she said, well, the owner of our company, my boss, he actually built a coffee trailer for his wife, just like what you're saying. She's had it and ran it for about a month and she doesn't want it anymore.
Well, she's expecting their third child and his business kept him very busy. So they were definitely changing directions.
Yeah. And so he said, do you want to talk to him about that one? I said, please, can I talk to him right now? Sure enough, I get on the phone with him. I have another about 25-minute conversation with him. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, we're flying up to Sacramento to check out this trailer.
Well, and I remember Drew coming in from the pool, and it's like he's unloading this adventure he just was on, you know, from the bank guy to the trailer company to talking to those people and then to finding this other one. And I just remember like on a whirlwind of emotions because I'm just like, what? No, like it's stressful. Mm-hmm. And it feels hard. And then he's like, look at this one. Doesn't it look perfect? And it's very food truck, like stainless steel. And we just had this whole different vision. Yeah. So I'm like, but it's not as cute. Mm-hmm. And so looking through the pictures, yes, we were like, okay. And so we flew up. I don't know how long after that. It wasn't very long after.
We flew up there. We flew into Sacramento and then we rented a car. And I remember driving from Sacramento up about 40 miles north of that. Halfway there, you were either reading or taking a nap. But I remember even thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready to turn around. It's not going to be good. Something's going to happen and it's going to fall through. So I don't even want
to
keep
going. I remember being really excited to see it, but so nervous that it wasn't going to be it. That it was going to be too good to be true, because it just looked really good and we were very excited. And so I do remember that on the drive feeling the same. And I feel like we both said something, or I said something along the lines of like, I really hope this is what it is.
And so we showed up around 10:30 and I'm just thinking, I mean, it's not going to take that long to walk through a 20-foot coffee trailer. We're going to be out of here in about 30 minutes. Let's go find a nice local coffee shop around the airport and then we'll fly home. And we were there for 5 hours. It was one of the most incredible experiences that I can remember.
I mean, it's crazy to even think, like, we walked in and it was like, you know, we met the owner, which I think he's younger than us. And I was not expecting that. So I'm like, oh, hey, they're a young man. Not much. He might be around our age. I think a little bit younger. Anyway, so then he takes us out to the trailer and we're looking in it, and kind of both of us just like, okay, like here we are, we're in it. And I just knew that it was it. I just felt the peace of God and I knew this is the trailer for us. This is the one we're going to take. So we definitely, like, we were there for a long time because we were up there, but he was also showing us how everything worked. It was like, we're purchasing this.
Yeah, well, he walked us into the back where the trailer had been sitting and he walked us through it. And then that took about 20-30 minutes. And then he was very adamant. No, I got to move it. I'm going to plug it in for you guys so you can see it working. Remember when we got in there, he asked, so do you want to pull a shot of espresso?
And we both went.
And I'm like, I have no clue how to do that. We're just starting a coffee business and I've never even pulled a shot of like, espresso before. Yeah, we're
like, so this is embarrassing, but neither of us know how to do that.
So he's plugged the trailer in. We're inside of it. From what I've seen on YouTube, I tried to pull a shot of espresso. It was horrible.
How far we've come.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
So this is a smaller place and he's got people working. Obviously, his employees are working. And as we're standing in the trailer, one of them comes by and asks for his attention. And the guy is super amazing. He's super polite. He says, hey, just excuse me for a minute. I'll be right back. I got to go deal with something. So he left. Me and Jillian are in the trailer. That's when we videoed the whole thing and started sending it to our families. And
and talking to each other like, yeah, this is perfect.
And he comes back and he says, would you like to have lunch with us? And I'm like, what do you mean lunch? He says, well, it's one of my employees' birthdays, and whenever it's their birthday, we have lunch.
Like a potluck.
Yeah, like a potluck. And he wouldn't accept no for an answer.
We were like, no, 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 we don't want to impose. Like, you guys do your thing. Like, we can get out of your hair.
So we finally, he brings us into the factory, and they have the table set up, and there's pizza, and some of the other employees made
They're literally all his family. Like, yeah, so he's like, oh, this is my father-in-law. This is my aunt. This is my uncle. This is my cousin. This is my whatever. And I'm like, it's a beautiful family business. And I just was like, the whole experience was so like comfortable. And just for me, it was like confirmation. This is where we are supposed to be right now. And the time between feeling like we lost everything from business loan to the trailer we had to, I feel like God was, he knew, he knew the trailer he had for us. And in that moment, being there sitting and eating lunch with all these people, like we were part of the family. It was like, God always knew this trailer was ours, you know? And I felt that. And it was very like much a confirmation for both of us. Like we're on the right track.
So we had lunch, it felt like they, you know, we felt like family by the time we left.
And I know. I was like sad. I was like, I'm going to miss you guys.
We went back to the airport. We stopped at this amazing restaurant. Like,
oh, it was so cute. It was right by the Sacramento what was River. That? Yeah. Like that little river. And it was so cute. And there was like a rooster just kicking it and walking around. And I think I got like fish and chips or something. And
my fish tacos were incredible.
Everything. It was like so good. And it was like the most hillbilly place. Like it felt like we were in, what did I say? Like New Orleans or something. Yeah, it definitely felt like that, but we were just like on the Sacramento River and like these kids came like in their boat
there's parked. Houses along the river like, and they'd get in their boats. They'd park in the boat parking lot and they would come up.
Yeah, and these like kids just with no shirts on, like coming to eat just off the river. I was like, this place is so hillbilly. I love it. It was delicious.
Had lunch. We flew back. We explained to our parents.
We went up in a day. We didn't stay anywhere. We literally flew in and flew out the same day.
And then thankfully, I have incredible parents.
We have investors. Incredible
mother-in-law that both decided to invest in our company.
I mean, that's perfect. It's like, it's a bank loan, but Mm-hmm. You get to pay your interest to people you love.
Yep. And less, you know, a couple of weeks later, we took the truck. My dad came along with us. We drove all the way up to Sacramento. We get there, and there's another trailer there that we saw when we were there the first time that was back, and the guy running it, he just needed some more shelves to be put in.
Yeah.
Chef Cena, if anyone's out there in Northern California, you got to use him.
Yes.
And he wanted us to come over and look at his trailer, and he had saw the Bible verse on our trailer and thought it was amazing. He had a Bible verse on his trailer. So it was just a cool connection.
And
that
his grandma was with him.
His grandma's picture was on the trailer.
Yeah, his grandma's picture is on the trailer, and she was there. So I was like, oh, is that grandma? You know, and we're like, hi, grandma.
Yep.
And so we just kind of chatted with them a little bit outside after we were getting ready to leave, and they were also getting ready to leave.
And so we're standing around talking to Mike, and he's pulling his trailer out with his truck, and he, in the parking lot, stops his truck.
And I'm thinking, he has a question for Mike. Yeah, I think I even said, oh, Mike, you know, your customer.
Yep. So he's walking up to us as we're, you know, standing in our little circle talking to Mike, thinking that he has a question. And no, he comes straight to Jillian and I and says, hey, before you leave, I would just like to pray with you guys.
Yeah. And I will tell you that like moment was so touching because like I said, it's like we already felt confirmation, like this is the trailer for us. And then it's great driving up there and then having Drew's dad with us too. And you could tell he was so excited and that feels good too. Like, okay, he thinks this is right as well. But Chef Cena prayed a prayer over us exactly like what we've been asking God for. Like, we just want to be a light to the community. You know, we just want to be disciples of Christ. We want to be like kind of on the front lines in a sense, in a different way. And Chef Cena's words were just confirmation. Like, I pray they're a light. I pray, you know, and it was just like, we're crying, you know, we're all teared up. Like, this is exactly like the moment we are supposed to be here. And also, what's beautiful about that is because God dropped that in Chef Cena's heart. And he stepped out in faith and walked up to us and prayed those words. And so I just think it's beautiful to watch God move through other people and then, you know, use them to speak to us. It was confirmation for us. And so thank you, Chef Cena, for listening to what the Lord called you to do, because that was a beautiful moment for us.
Yep. And now we're getting to the point. It's really exciting to see how everything is growing, because I remember our very first event was right on our property. We did a soft opening, and oh my gosh, we thought that was, we had
we were so 20
of our friends here, and we also were serving food, so they had plenty of reason to wait for a drink, and we were so stressed out. I was like, oh shoot, I had to run to the local coffee shop, Joyful Noise, by the way, they're incredible, and I said, hey, can I just have some
12-ounce the right cups, size cups. The right
cups, and
yeah, so we've kind of just fallen into this. We've definitely ran into some challenges. You know, with the trailer, it's like an experience trying to figure everything out where, you know, we're super backed up and then, you know, we drop things and do different stuff. And there's a lot of like hiccups and things to work through. But I would say other than that, like beginning of just being like super stressed out trying to get our trailer, we're still working through stuff. There's still challenges and we just continue to push on.
So now before we end this episode, we want to transition quickly to a segment that I would like to call. This segment is called How Girls Hang Out. This is something I've had in my mind for a long time now, being that I am the dad of three girls and a beautiful wife. I'm not the dad of the wife. I'm married to my wife. And I'm actually live on a property, animals and people, that is majority women.
Yeah.
In my life right now, the only male I have is a 5-pound chihuahua. So as I've kind of been on this journey for a long time, I've noticed that it's a little bit different how women and men tend to hang out. So we're going to have a reoccurring episode that kind of just shows the way girls hang out through a male's perspective.
Yeah. I can't wait for Drew just to make fun of us also.
No, it's not making fun of us. It's more of trying to help men understand women.
Oh, you're looking out for the men here. I got it. Okay.
This one is going to be, you're going to have to lead this one more, because this is something that I still have not ever figured out. I haven't figured it out. I don't think I ever will. So I'm just going to pose the question. What's up with all of the water bottles? Seriously.
Okay.
Like, what is up with the water bottles? I remember growing up and you go into your cupboards. You have a cupboard for plates and bowls and dishes and your cups. I have no more cupboard space in my house because it's filled with small water bottles, big water bottles, pictured water bottles, colored water bottles, Stanley's. Like, what's up with all the water bottles? Please help me understand this.
Okay, so I mean, I can't speak for every woman out there, but I will just say it's because they're cute.
A water bottle?
Look at this. Look how cute that is. You know? Like, so I need different ones because, like, what mood am I in? You know? Today I'm in the happy face mood. So lucky you. If I'm using this cup, then you know mommy's in a good mood. I feel like it's an accessory, you know?
Let me ask. Hold on. You said it for the mood.
Yeah.
I think now all of the men listening to this want to know which type of water bottle tells the husband that you are not in a good mood. Then they might know.
Oh, I'm probably using a regular cup from the cabinet like this thing.
All right. So husbands, if your wife is not using a water bottle, it is not the time.
And, okay, look at this. It's super cute. It has a handle, but I can't bring this to SeaWorld with me, right? It's glass. Like, this is a dangerous thing to take out. This is an at-home tumbler that's adorable. I brought it to church today. But it's like there's a time and a place for each one, you know? Like, if I have my big, what is that thing called?
It's called, I don't know, it's like a water drum.
Yeah, like that is for a day at the zoo. And that's what I need that for that trip. Oh, we're just going to be at the dance studio. I need a slightly smaller, but still bigger than your normal tumbler because I'm going to be at the dance studio for a long time. But you have
15 slightly smaller, but bigger tumblers.
And also we have three daughters and they need like cute water bottles too. So we all can coordinate.
Yeah, don't even get me started with them because they're already on this. I need more water bottles. Like they go to the store and they see water bottles and they need those too.
It's like we just need something to make us feel special. And a cute water bottle like completes our day. It's like I feel good and I look cute and I have a cute water bottle.
Okay. So guys, it's okay.
It's a mood.
It's a mood thing.
Yeah.
What you don't do is do not try to recycle some of their water
bottles. Do not downsize my water bottles.
Yeah. Build more cabinetry. Don't throw away water bottles.
Yeah. Yep. Successful marriage right
there. Build bigger cabinets. And with that, we are going to end this amazing episode. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Would you like any final thoughts?
We have future guests scheduled to be on the podcast. So look out for announcements on who we're interviewing next and first.
You will not want to miss this next one.
No, definitely not. Make sure you like, subscribe, save, comment, and share.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Even if my dreams fall to the ground, even if I'm lost, I know I'm found. Even if my heart will somehow say, hallelujah.